Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Pastors for Punch TV Studio, your host, Joy Brown. Thank you again for joining us for another day. Like the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So I'm glad that you join us today. We do have it posted on Facebook, Instagram. We call some people, message somebody. So the opportunity is your choice to call in, and we have a very special guest that's here on the line already waiting to come in, but you have got to call your friend, your neighbor, your pastor, and hear what God is doing in this man's life. If you're looking for an excuse of not being successful, you won't find it in this story, because he had everything that could possibly go wrong in his life, and he has overcame. Like the Bible says, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. But you got to tune in, you got to call in, and you got to listen to this story for yourself, because I can't even begin to go into the depths of it to even give you the revelation of what your God, our God, can do when a mind has been changed. Dial 657-383-1974. Now, if you try to go onto the internet, I heard that sometimes you can't get in on the internet, so just use your iPhones and just call in the number, no access number, and just dial in, because we have somebody that's waiting in the queue right now to come on. And I don't think it's just a word of encouragement. It is a life-changing message that he is giving internationally. This, again, is the Pastors for Punch TV Studio, your host, Joy Brown. And today, the guest that we do have is none other than the international prolific public speaker, Antonio T. Smith, Jr. So I have a little bit of his bio that I'm going to read, but I'm going to allow this guy to just talk about where he came from, how did he evolve in this area that he is, and just tell you, talk to you about it. But as you know, I posted, so I'm just reading, and I'm going to just read a little bit of what I have. Antonio T. Smith, Jr. is a prolific public speaker certified by Les Brown, the world's number one motivational speaker, who has delivered over 2,000 keynotes at events such as the University of Houston, Wiley College, which you can listen to on his podcast. Antonio is an international recognized trainer and speaker, best-selling author in self-help and religious category. He specialized in cognitive behavior therapy, business and strength training, leadership, teleconference presentation, personal breakthroughs, prosperity, consciousness, mindset training, and all level of effective marketing, as well as scholarship in the Old Testament and Jewish covenant. He owns one of the most successful technology company in Texas. He holds a bachelor in Christianity and a master in theological studies. And Tony is a best-selling author and a popular podcast host with a show that reaches 70 countries and 60 different languages. Antonio D. Smith, T. Smith Jr. has been coaching people around the world on a personal transformation for the last 9 years and reaches over 100,000 of listeners across the globe. Antonio Cain overcame abandonment, homelessness, brokenness, and Tony has learned at age 6 how to use his mind to climb out of a sleeping in a dumpster. He would spend his entire childhood homeless, was adopted when he was 14, and as an age out of a CPS custody at age 18 years old. We're talking about a guy that has had some rough times and overcame whatever the obstacles were in his life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you, those that you live in Galveston, Texas, Houston, and across the nation, you probably heard of him, but I met him last month in Fort Lauderdale at the convention for the Les Brown Maximum Achievement Awards, and it was indeed an honor. Today we're bringing him on the Pastors for the Punch TV studio, and here we are, Antonio D. Smith
Jr. I'm here.
Jr.
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I was just telling, I've got my staff in front of me and two of my new best friends just walked in. I'm getting ready to meet them right after I get with you. And I just told them all, you researched me because all that's not in my bio.
No, that's why I was supposed to find something. I told Tibbers, I said, send me his bio. And she sends me the bio, and I was hunting and looking and searching. I said, ooh, look at this. I said, wow, I know that you have got to be the man that God is calling on the surface for this time. I was writing something on Facebook because I always try to describe what I think that my guest is coming with, and I said, 2018, this guy is traveling by the speed of lightning. And I know this is a time frame that you probably already have passed through, but something's getting ready. The shift in the atmosphere is changing, and I know it. And I know you are in the forefront of it. Listen, audience, wherever you are, I encourage you to stay on the line and to hear this young man. And I'm just going to allow Antonio just to come forth and just talk about a little bit. Talk about your first grade to the ninth grade. That's what I have here. And it talks about you being a homeless kid eating out of trash cans. Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Okay, so I was born in 1981, and then crack cocaine came through about 1985. And my parents got caught up in it, and they pretty much, you know, they weren't even legally able to keep me anymore. So I went to my grandmother's house, which is my dad's mother's, but I didn't know them. And I went to my other grandmother's house, which is my mother's mother, and they didn't like my dad. So I was stuck between the rock and the hard place. I was stuck between one side of my family that didn't like my mama and the other side of the family that didn't like my dad. So I just ran away. And that's exactly what I did. And in that running away, I got arrested a few times for truancy because that's kind of the way the laws in Texas work. And
right. How old were you then?
six. That right now I haven't even got to seven.
Wow, this is just six years old.
Yeah, this is just six. Yeah, I didn't get out that trash can until 14. It was actually a dumpster on about 44th and Ball, if anybody's wondering, if you're listening from Galveston, Texas. But, yeah,
uh-huh.
So I spent all my time in there. And I didn't just, I mean, I didn't just eat out of them. I had clever ways of, I would find a way to get a dollar. In fact, then, you can get four bags of chips for a dollar. You know, it's not like more, you know. You can't get nothing but a dollar, but frustration. And so I would eat these chips, and I would stop by the, it was a little gas station that had a public water fountain, and I'd fill my stomach up with water, like feel it
really
as much as possible. To the point where I was walking and I felt the water moving in my stomach. And every night I would get in that stupid trash can and hate life, and it'd be hot or it was cold, or I had to get off bugs or whatever, you know, just all sorts of stuff. I don't want to take all this too deep in the story, but all sorts of stuff. And I spent there in and out of that to 14 years old. And I put myself in school. I had to forge my mother's signature. I had to forge my mother's signature, and I would check corporal punishment. Again, that's a Texas thing, probably. Corporal punishment means they could whoop you in school. And I'd check that. You know, but the crazy thing is, I've never had any school supplies. Now, today, I have the most incredible memory that you can think of, because I had to remember all the notes from school, because I've never had school supplies. So, yeah, it's funny how God works everything out. I just did a 4-hour keynote last week or something, Saturday, and it had 48 different movements in it, and I memorized all of it because that's just what I do. But it's not something that came naturally for me. It's something that my experiences forced me to learn how to do. And so, yeah, all that time in the trash can, but it is something that I teach people today around the world. Get out your own trash can. It may not be a real dumpster, but look past prosperity, find a dumpster, and then get in it. And so I've stopped people from doing just that.
So let me ask you something, because this is really an interesting story. So if you were going to school, they never asked for your parents?
Okay, so the way mine's worked out, I went to school, I didn't have my father. Coming talking with him a few years ago, he didn't even know I was going through that, because they were both on drugs until later on. Well, until I told him, or until I wrote a book about it. You know, then he didn't know that. I felt, because of the way I grew up, there was no parents. I didn't have any parents. I didn't have any home. So I felt, besides the fact that I was always in trouble with the police because I was always walking the streets.
Okay.
Not at a time where 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old kids walk in the streets. I felt the fifth grade because I didn't have no parents, no anything. I felt the fifth grade with an overall average of 75, but I had a terrible math score because, not that I wasn't good at math, I didn't have homework. You're asking me to do homework in a trash can with no light.
Oh my God.
You understand what I'm saying? So I felt the fifth grade, and I felt the sixth grade, and I dropped out of school. I dropped out of school when I failed the sixth grade because I couldn't take mentally going back and being a failure again while sleeping in failure, right? So I'm sleeping in failure. I already failed, and now I'm failing again. Now I'm the stupid kid that's, you know, I'm already ashy. My teeth are already yellow. My hair already doesn't need to be combed. And so that was the last straw for me. So I failed out of school. And I dropped out. Sixth grade, this time I'm 12 years old. But here's what happened. I got hungry. Because school for me was 2 meals a day.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't realize that until I dropped out. So I dropped out. And I couldn't eat the way I was accustomed to eating. And you couldn't see my hunger, but I felt it.
Right.
And today, again, this is just another analogy for what I did today. I got so hungry, it was as loud to me as like a jet engine in my ears, but you couldn't see.
Are you serious?
And everybody out here is hungry about something, and it's loud to them, but they cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I went through what I went through and I got out what I got out, it had nothing to do with I was smart. It had everything to do with the fact that I was hungry. And if I didn't get up and if I didn't go back to school, I wouldn't eat. And it's that simple. And I treat life that same way now. If I don't get up, I don't eat. Period. Point blank. That's just how it works. And that is the only reason why I'm successful today, is because life for me was live or starve, and I decided to live.
Okay. All right. So you know what that feel like.
Yeah, definitely.
So that means if you were like in the sixth grade, you were about 12 or 13 years old.
Right. So since I was born in the summer, I got to start school at fifth grade. Kindergarten, I was five. So
mm-hmm.
I ended up graduating at like 18 and a half or something because I started school
right.
in the summer. So I wasn't too far back. But
mm-hmm.
I failed the fifth grade. I went to summer school. And whatever I did, I'm not sure how it worked, but they passed me. I don't know if I passed or they passed me. But the
right.
sixth grade, I had to repeat. I had to
okay.
repeat the sixth grade. To this day, if you look up my public school records, I had to repeat the sixth grade right after failing
wow.
the fifth grade and then the sixth grade. That was my life.
Nice.
Yes. But that was real homelessness. So, you know, most people
I don't know how you survived that as a kid. I don't even get it.
You know, my somebody told me that a little bit like 6 months ago, and I never thought of it because for me, I had to learn how to fight very quickly. And it had nothing to do with defending myself. It had everything to do with defending my food. And you got to think about it. You're sitting there 7 years old, 57 pounds, and you have
right.
food that you have, and somebody else is bigger than you, growner
right.
than you. And they want your food. And so I had to learn how to fight for my food. Every
right.
single thing that I can think of comes back with the fact that I was
okay.
hungry. And I had to learn how to fight because I was hungry. And I had learned all of these things. So I'm looking at, I have a 9-year-old son. I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old son. And my son asked me, he said he knows my story by, you know, keynotes and stuff I do. And he asked me, Daddy, how did you survive being homeless? And I tell him, I say, look at you right now. When I was your age, I was a professional at being homeless because I had been homeless for 3 years. And
right.
I told him, look at his little brother, and his little brother is 5, and he's pounds or something. And I say, 1 year from now, your little brother will be homeless if you think of it in the way I did it.
Right.
How did I survive it? Since this is a religious radio, you better not say nothing else but God. You understand? Between God and being hungry, there's no way. But I've had to do a lot of powerful things that I had to learn how to do way before that I should have been able to do it. You're basically talking to a man that's never been raised in his entire life. I never had the opportunity to be raised, ever. By the time I was 6, I stopped being raised and had to raise myself.
Okay. And this is in the USA, y'all. We ain't talking about Africa. We talking about right here in your neighborhood that this is literally went on.
Yeah. Yeah, and all of it's documented. Like, when I tell people, like, I've had some people, when I wrote my first book, and they were like, oh, man, it happened. No. All this is documented. This is, you can pull up, this stuff is public records. My school ID was 12090. You can go pull it up. You know, my jail record is sitting right there. You can go pull that up. I felt the fifth and sixth grade. You go pull that up. This is public record. There's no reason to lie about these. And anybody who knows me knows, you know, and I don't even have my parents are not even on my birth certificate.
What you mean?
So
what's on there?
So I end up getting adopted. My paternal grandmother, my dad's mother, when they discovered what was going on, they went to this really big fight to adopt me, because by then I'm so self-sufficient that I don't even need anything. I bought my first car at 16, and you don't even want to know how I bought my first car. Just know I had a car.
How did you do what you was? You was working? You started working?
No, it wasn't working. I learned how to make money.
Oh my god!
I learned how to make money in urban America. You know, things like that. Yeah, exactly. So it is amazing that I'm even here. It is amazing that anything, I shouldn't be, like, I defy all statistics, and again, nothing to do with my will, my might, has everything to do with the basic primal instinct of starvation. Starve anymore. And I just created a life that I never had to do that again. And it really is that simple. And success for anybody is that simple. It is that simple. It really is that simple. So, yeah, this happened in good old USA, and right here in Southeast Texas. Yeah, right here in Southeast Texas. So, definitely.
Oh, this is good, but it's just so heart-wrenching to hear that you could have that you meet everyday people. My life is so totally different than yours. You know, being raised by two parents, of course, parents went to work. Mom cooked meals every day, sold our clothes and stuff. So, to hear this is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, definitely. So, I definitely understand. I definitely understand, and sure it is unbelievable. But it for me it's normal. And what I but here's the crazy part: that normalcy of poverty wound up affecting me when I tried to actually do something with my life. This being so used to surviving in poverty taught me never to strive in prosperity. I had no model for prosperity. I only knew how to survive. I never knew how to be in abundance, and that will totally ruin your relationship with God. It's crazy to think. I mean, you have to think about it. For me, I never even knew anything about God or anything until I was 14, 15 years old. It was a foreign concept to me. I didn't even understand the principles. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we talk about
hold
God
on to that thought because we got time. Hey, hold on to that thought. I'll take a commercial because then you're going to come back and you're going to talk about that because the audience need to hear, because you said that you were not raised in church, but yet your foundation is so horrific that something had to happen. So I'm going to take a quick commercial, and I'm going to come back, and I want you to tell us about that, okay?
Okay, no problem.
You are listening to the Pastors for Punch TV studio, your host, Joy. On the line, we have a phenomenal guest here, but I'm going to go for a commercial first, and I'm going to come right back because he's going to tell us some things about how he come to know the Lord.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
This is a Queen Vander Power Nugget.
Did you know that it is by design that we aspire for greatness? Don't allow fear or insecurity to delay the inevitable. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, lets us know you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO. I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promise you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com. I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch.
Okay, thank you for your patience. We do have our guest on the line, Antonio T. Smith Jr., and he was telling us about his story. You're going to have to call somebody and tell them about what this man is talking about at the age of 14, how he was psychologically broken, violated, and suicidal. And he says one day his life would change forever, and he decided this would not be his future, that his future would be to travel the world. Now, is that what you're doing now, Antonio?
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. I want my favorite restaurant not to be in America. That's my mindset right now. If I have a favorite restaurant, it needs to be somewhere on another hemisphere.
Wow. But listen, we were talking about your knowledge of when you began to know who God was. Tell us about that.
Okay. So, I'm going to tell you the truth. I may offend some of your hardcore Bible-thumping believers. Okay. God was never in my life because he couldn't have been. Now, obviously, on this side of God, I understand he was there the whole time, okay? That's completely understandable. But what I need you to understand is he couldn't have been in my awareness because he never existed. There was no God conversation. And the only time when adults had the opportunity to evangelize about me, they talked about me instead. You know what I'm saying? So they never met me with Jesus. They met me with criticism. Oh, this guy here, he's this, and that, or now he got an attitude at this point, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I never even had the opportunity to meet God because the adults carrying him never let him go. And so that is why I went so far without meeting the Lord. And when I got adopted, about 15, 16, my grandmother forced me to this youth revival. Where all the kids, they used to have them a long time ago. I don't know if they still have them. You know, world's changed so much. We're in this youth revival. And we're in the church, and I have this encounter with God, but now I'm different. God is real unique when he with all of us. So for me, God jumped right in my logic. He's sitting there, and he's talking to me in a manner of, okay, remember all that stuff you did here? That was me. This was me. This. And it was just straight line thinking like a computer program or something. So I truly had a real encounter with God when God forced me to look at everything that I thought I knew and then forced me to understand that it was always him.
Wow.
It was never a scripture. It was never a Bible study.
Jesus.
Here's the deal. It couldn't have been because when all of you, when all people listening to you right now, when all people listening to me right now, all people who have been saved, you did not open up the Bible and get saved. Somebody loved you when they should not have. That saved you. Somebody tapped you on your shoulder and said, baby, don't do that. That saved you. But you never read a scripture and got saved.
Oh, my God.
You got saved and had a desire to read scriptures, but your scriptures never gave you a desire to meet the Lord. And that's the truth. That is the truth. You don't read a Bible and then get revealed that God loves you. Someone has to show you he loved you and then reveal to you his Bible. And so God showed me my logic was always him. And that is how I got my relationship with God. Then he took me to a point to where my logic couldn't work no more. Because you can look out at the stars and be like, you can look out at the stars and be like, God, it has to be something. That makes sense. You can look at the trees. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Trees are sustaining themselves, photosynthesis. But you can't look at the stars and say, Jesus died for my sins. You can't do it. You just can't do it.
Antonio, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. You didn't meet no girl or nothing that tried to talk to you about the Lord?
When I was homeless, when I was cutting up the streets, when I was being cut up by the streets, nobody told me about God.
Nobody?
Because we as Christians will pass up church on the way to church. I was the biggest form of church that you can literally attend, and nobody ever attended me because I didn't have a steeple over my head or a suit on my body. So you would pass me up just to go to familiar worship. You know, I don't mean to be difficult or hard, but that's the truth. That's my reality. That is the reality of lots of people that I know.
Oh, my Lord.
Nobody ever told me about God. Ever. Ever. And I'm not talking about, like, nobody told me. No, I had no existence. If they're an alien in outer space, I don't know because I can't see them. That's how God was. I didn't even know. There was no God. It was only eat or don't eat. That's all I knew. And nobody came to me and said, hey, he still loves you. Nobody.
Is it because you lived on the street, so that means you look like you lived on the street. And that is right there is a mystery, because looking at you today, you do have to tell your story because people will not believe that you've been on the street like this.
That's fair.
How do you, when your clothes and everything, are you saying just like these guys that's on the street that's all dirty, hair, eating out of trash bag, is this what you're saying that you look like?
Of course. Of course. Except I was a little kid with a snotty nose, and as I got older, I was the skinny kid that'd punch you in your face. Either way, I look like what you think somebody homeless for that long would look like. But here's the crazy thing, though. Jesus looked like that, too. That's the crazy part. If you want to be real, Jesus ain't have no toothbrush. He ain't had no Listerine. He didn't see no dentist. He was in ancient world, and he looked like ancient world people. Jesus looked like I looked when I was homeless. Therefore, I was closer to Jesus when I never knew him. Not only did I was closer to Jesus when I never knew him, because I looked like him and I needed him. And every time nobody decided to come to me, it's every time everybody decided not to come to Jesus. I looked like Jesus because Jesus did not walk around Israel in a three-piece suit.
Mm-hmm. And that's because we look on the outside.
There it is.
We are people of appearance, of outside, and that's why we judge people.
Well, check this out. How you do anything is how you do everything. So, therefore, how they avoided me is the same way they avoid Jesus in church.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the same thing today. I'm homeless, so they have to avoid me, but we turn around, we avoid people in church. We'll avoid you. We'll avoid you if you don't look like homeless, but you don't have on stockings and you're young. I've seen I've seen us avoid young women because they're not wearing stockings. And I'm sorry, I had to turn your radio show into something else. We supposed to be.
That
is how I was
homeless.
Yeah.
He almost got me in tears just thinking about this because this is what we do. We do it now. And so you're giving up a wake-up call of basically what's still happening, you know. And when we look at people that are broken and we don't even know it because we don't care.
Now, and here's the crazy thing, though. The crazy thing is that the truth is there's only one of us. There's only, like, Joy, Twan, Deanna, Tiana, is that Tiana, Bryant, this is one of us. This is crazy. There's only one of us in the room. We take on different physical manifestations, but the one of us in the room is God. That's it. This is why when I give, I have no choice but to receive because I'm always giving to myself. I'm always. There's only one of us in the room. When we realize that we are all connected, there will be no wars. There will be no passing up homeless people. There will be no. Your radio show should have 7 billion people listening to it. I mean, it's just that simple. Nobody should be angry with you for being a strong woman. Nobody should be mad at you for having prosperity. There's one of us. If you got prosperity, I got prosperity. And I prove that. David in the Old Testament said, I've sinned against thee and thee only. For he knew of a Christ before there was a Christ in physical form on earth, the way we understand in our New Testament. David understood whatever he did to people, he did to God. Flip that around. Jesus said, listen, man, I was hungry. You didn't even feed me. I was thirsty. You ain't give me no water. How do we do that, Lord? Whatever you did unto the least of these, my brother, you do also unto me.
Right.
It's only one of us. There's only one of us. That's it. If I hurt you, I hurt me. That's why when I hurt you, I get back nothing but hurt from somebody else. Because every time I hurt you, it's every time I hurt me. But there is no me. There is no you. There's just God. And we just take on a physical form that live God out on planet Earth. It's Bible. Whether you like the way I said it or not, you can use Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 28. You're made in his image. You can go 1 John 4:4, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. It don't matter. A bunch of them. The only reason you call Jesus, Jesus, because the angels told us to. And the only reason we call Joy, Joy, because your mama told us to. At the end of the
day,
you are God in physical form, living out this life, and it's only one of me and you, and that's the light. You are the light of the world, and I shall not ever quench out your light because I want to put on shades.
Let me give you applause on that, man. Listen, now, I read also about your education. And you have went to, you have a degree, your master's degree in theological studies and stuff. Tell us a little bit what prompted you to do that. And then I want you to tell the audience how many languages you speak.
Okay.
You know, I did not forget that.
Okay. I have my bachelor's in Christianity. I graduated with President of the Society, and I have my master's in master's of art and theological studies. Okay, I have a master's in theological studies, and I graduated number one in my class. And the accolades don't mean anything, but I'm saying that to prove something. This little bitty homeless kid that has these accolades because I was never homeless. That's what it looked like physically. I was always the light. I was just out of place. And so when I went to go get my degrees, I felt the church was out of place. That's what made me go get my degrees. I felt like we are not saying who God is. We're just worshiping a God that is now governed by church bylaws. This is how I felt. I felt theology was no longer important. The bylaws were what we preached and how we acted. Because you guys understand, however you're raised is how you view God, whether you like that or not. For me, I'm adopted. So God is this wonderful father frequently adopting people outside of his family. He says, hey, Kimmy, I love you. Don't be homeless. Adopt me in your family. And so I have these degrees because I wanted to prove that that was God. Now,
It's
funny, trying to prove that that was God, I also learned more than what I, what I intended to learn, which is a blessing for me. If you grew up with privilege all your life, you would treat God in that same manner. You would decide who gets saved. You would want God to save people you like, and you'll have people in your church you want to deal with. That's what you'll do. That's exactly what you do. And so I have my degrees in that, and I specialize. I'm a Paulinian scholar. I'm an Old Testament covenant scholar.
Are you really?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
I've got bunches of books on. I got them on. I'm based the people who you would write. I write commentary and with accolades and stuff. So the people that you would, hey, what does this scripture mean? I'm actually one of those people. Fortunate enough to be that way through hard work and God just paying off my student loans. You understand?
Right.
Sally
Mae,
it's not of the Lord. You understand?
Right.
But I speak five languages, Greek and Hebrew being two of them. I'm teaching myself and my boys. I homeschool my boys, so I'm teaching us.
Oh, are you really?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
I homeschool my two boys, and I'm teaching them Mandarin. I'm going to teach them Mandarin starting in January, so that's going to be pretty cool. We're going to like that together. And I just, for fun, I teach myself languages. I just feel like, well, it's not really for fun. I do it for fun, but I really do it because I like to be sympathetic towards other people. And if you learn their language, you automatically learn their heart. It's so hard. The people who are racist are not bilingual. It's near impossible. It is near impossible to hate a culture when you know their culture. It's impossible.
Okay.
When you speak their language, you'll love their heart. Yeah, so I speak five languages for that very reason. I want to make a difference and stuff. So, yeah, hopefully that helps y'all to answer that question.
So tell me, what's your next goals that you have this line up for the next 6 months to the next 2 years? Where are you going?
Sure. I got one goal. And one goal only, just one.
Okay.
And it's probably going to ruffle a few feathers. But in the next 365 days, I plan on making $3 million. It's the only goal I have. I don't want any other goal. And I want to give $1 million of those dollars to everybody who works for me. Everybody. Everybody who works for me. I want $1 million to go to them. And so in the next 6 months, I'd like to have $1.5 million. And in 2 years, I'd like to have $10 million. And by the time I die, I'd like to be a billionaire that gave 80% of that money back. I don't want the money. The money is irrelevant. It's not the money that I want. I want people to know that you can grow up homeless and then you don't have to stay that way. I want my kids to never have to beg another man for a job. And I want the world to know that you can be in the 1%, but you don't have to be greedy.
But don't have to be greedy.
That's me. That's my whole goal in all of life. That's it. I don't care nothing about riding on jets. I just want to let people know that, hey, you can do, have, and be whatever you want, especially if you give that back. Good people. If you give good people money, they'll do a lot of good things with it.
Okay.
That's where I stand.
So your staff that you have now, how many people you have on your staff now?
So I have a few companies. If you go with volunteers and all that stuff, the people who work for me, it's about 54 of them. People who work for volunteer work, about 54 of them. If you go with just my staff, the staff that I'm trying to take out of poverty and make them all millionaires, it's nine of them.
Nine.
And that's with one company, and it's another additional, so let's say 13 total because I have another company as well. So it's 13 people that I'm trying to make millionaires within the next 500 days. And if I don't do it, I'm going to die. That's how serious I am about it. If I don't do it, I see no point of living because I said I was going to do it and because it is a ministry if I do it. And the fact that there's somebody that cares about other people to take them out of poverty and so they can have whatever they want, desire, wish, and do, that's my purpose. That's what I want to do. There's nothing else. I can't think of nothing else. If you ask me that question tomorrow, I'm going to tell you the same answer. Friends and the people who work for me out of poverty. Poverty is disgusting. And poverty is the root of all evil. And people kill for it. And then people hold each other back for it. And people walk by homeless kids and never give them Christ for it.
Right. So you're pastoring in Galveston?
Yes, ma'am. I'm pastoring Galveston, a little small church, small congregation. And since my mindset is the way it is, my church works very differently. You can think of this church like an organization. This church takes care of everybody in it. The money around this church bounces around 16 times before it ever leaves. So if we had, let's say, for instance, somebody needed some transportation. Well, we don't like that around this church. We get together, we pull our resources together, and we fix that transportation of need. Right now, here in the next 2 weeks, we're going to start a campaign. I have a lot of young members, and of course, young members, you drive too fast. And now they got warrants, but with their warrants, there's surcharges. Here's what we're getting ready to do in my church. We are getting ready to raise all the money for the warrants and all the money for the surcharges. And we're going to take care of everybody in this church that does not have a license or has to have their heart drop every time they see blue or white car drive behind. That's what we do in this church. So our church is like an ecclesia in with the way Jesus would use it. It's a purposeful gathering of people for one purpose, to live out Christ, not just to talk about him.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm online, and I'm looking at some books that you've written, and I like this one about, see, while you're talking, I'm searching. Keep Walking. Tell us about a little bit about Keep Walking.
Definitely. Keep Walking is the only book that I wrote that actually tells my story, but it's not about me. It's about the audience through the lens of me. Keep Walking is the 13 steps that I figured out in my head of how to get out of a trash can. And I wrote them down.
What?
And I wordsmithed them. One of the chapters in that book is called 10 Minutes at a Time. And let me explain that because it's an original idea that I want the whole world to have before I'm dead. 10 Minutes at a Time says this here. That you, I couldn't see 24 hours in that trash can. It was out of hot, cold, or whatever. But I could see 10 minutes. See, being 10 minutes at a time made me stop being suicidal, but 24 hours made me want to take my life. So at 10 minutes, I decided if I could just get past 10 minutes, then I'd get past another. And later on, I enhanced that. I figured if I'm hurting in 10 minutes, I could use the next 10 minutes not to hurt. Then I enhance it again. If I do something well in 10 minutes, then it don't matter no more because that was 10 minutes ago. So for me, every day is 10 minutes. So when people, when you spend one day, I get 144 days. Because when you take 10 minutes at a time, when you multiply that by, divide it by a 24-hour period, I have 144-day, while you have a 24-hour day. Now check this out. If you hurt me, if it takes me 30 days to get past it, for you that's a month. For me that's 30 minutes or 300 minutes. And I just do it 10 minutes at a time. So basically, no matter how much bad happens to me, I reevaluate mm-hmm. my life and ask myself in mm-hmm. 10 minutes, does this matter? Is what's happening to me right now my worth and my value? And I say no, and I let it go. If I give you $1 million right now, I don't take mm-hmm. the rest of the day off because I gave you $1 million yesterday, 10 minutes from now. Now I got to go help somebody else. That's 10 minutes at a time. That's one of the key principles I learned in that book, one that I definitely mm-hmm. love to share with your audience as well. I have a giveaway, too. Before we leave, make sure you remind me I have a giveaway.
Yes, I
want to give.
Well,
yes, I want to give your audience something.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. You want me to do it now?
No. Well, actually, yes, I do, because I don't want to run out of the time, because I do need you to do the giveaway, and I need you to tell us how we're going to get in touch with you about the book that you have written. I think it's on Amazon, and just information about you, about your training and everything, because this conversation is recorded and people just go in and click on after the show and still be able to get what you're getting. So yes, I do want you to take that time and go ahead and do. Mm-hmm.
This is what I'll do for the next 365 days for every listener that listens to this recording, since it's recorded, for the next 365 days. Every listener listens to this recording. If they prove they listened to it by saying your name, whatever the date was, I'm going to put them in my personal development university. It's $99 a month. That's $12,000. That's about it. Yeah, $12,000. No. Is that 12? Yeah, $1,200 a month. I mean, a year for free. You can get it for free.
For free.
Check this out. It's a lifetime membership, and let me tell you how my university works. It grows every month. So the longer you're in, the more value you get. Completely free for the next 365 days. They can get that as long as they're your listener, they can get it for free. The first 100 people that are on my Facebook, you can either search Antonio T. Smith Jr., or you can go to facebook.com/theATSJR. Find me there, ask me for Keep Walking, I give it to you free. You ain't even got to go to Amazon or anywhere else to buy it. I give it to you for free. The digital copy, because I don't feel like paying
okay.
for stamps. So I give you the digital copy.
Yes.
For free.
Okay. Wow.
That's it.
Repeat
that,
that again.
That was like 50.
I got you.
Yeah, sure.
Now, is there
like
a number?
Of free stuff.
Yes. Is there a number
yes.
that they can call also?
Sure. 281-816-7753, 281-816-7753. That'll lead you to the office as well. You can call that number. And in repetition, for the next 365 days, anybody who listens to this episode gets free personal development. It grows. It's like it's amazing. It's the number one university out there as far as personal development goes. You can have it for free. If they just prove somehow they listen to this episode with your show, I'm only doing this because you are so awesome and we were just hanging out, you know, in your show, and the first 100 people and listening right now, you just inbox me or text that number 281-816-7753, and I'll make sure you get the book for free. Keep Walking, since you mentioned it.
And that's
281-816-7753.
Got okay, wonderful.
That's it.
Man, this is a treat. I am so excited. I mean, I know this conversation or this interview that we were doing today. I've been looking forward to it, and I know you've been in the studio for the last couple of the days. Is that correct?
Yes, sure have. I just recorded a bunch of classes. Some of them are $19. One of them cost $40,000. And so
okay.
I specialize in a lot of things. And
mm-hmm.
yes, it's from personal development. Some of it is business and marketing, because that's something I do extremely well. But I'm definitely,
mm-hmm.
it'll all be, it's actually on that website. Some of it will go in the free package that I gave to you as well. So it'll actually be on that website here shortly. I'm uploading everything now.
So, and this course normally costs, how much does this course normally cost that you're offering for free?
$99 a month. $99 a month. It is since personal development can get expensive, I came up with an inexpensive way to give people
uh-huh.
personal development, and it happens, you know, it's a $99 a month membership. But
okay.
For the next 365, I don't know. That means if you grow to 1 million people, all of them going to get it.
That is awesome, man.
Yes. I didn't
so
put
you
no
are
limit
developing
on.
People. You are developing
oh, yes, ma'am.
A network of people that want to advance in life.
That's right. Well, if life is ever going to develop me, I must first develop it. That's why I'm doing what I do.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brother. I don't know what to say other than I thank God for you coming on the line. Thank God for Tempest. I know she got to be hanging around somewhere close.
Yeah, she listening.
For making the connection for you to come on the talk show. I spoke it into existence when we met, but I didn't know when it was going to happen. But I'm happy. I'm so happy that it happened today. This is the day. This is the day that it was supposed to happen. Literally, I'm going to go back over your bio, read it for myself, and just thank God. Yeah, because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I have, and I shouldn't, I have one of those niches where I'm trying to develop my story and find out what it is. Lord, my story is not like this story, but I have a story, but man, your story is just—it's so way out there. You know, there's no balance.
Yes. No.
And then to see you, then to see you just the personality that I met in Fort Lauderdale is so unique, and I can understand now why you are in the position that you're in and why you went through what you went through to get to where you are and where you're going, because all this was in the making of who you are, the man that you are. And I thank you for your leadership. I thank you for your training. I thank you for your mindset training that you give people. I thank you for your 5 languages. I mean, I thank you for your dedication to knowing who you are in God. I mean, I just thank you for what you're doing, how you're reaching out to people, and I thank you for all your testimony. Now, I'm getting ready to just not end this show because we're going to bring you back on. There's so much that I could have asked, but we just didn't allow the time to because it is just a 60-minute talk show. But Antonio, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Tether, thank you. I thank your staff for supporting, even on Facebook. I said, man, this is the A team that's showing up, that's supporting the A team.
Oh yeah.
So
the staff
I got
hungry.
Yes, it is. So I understand now why you with the Les Brown Maximal Achievement, because you are an achiever and you have greatness within you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Pastors for Punch TV Studio. This man is a pastor, but most of all, he is a phenomenal international motivational speaker. And, of course, you have the opportunity to come into this training. All you need to do is follow directions. Until next time, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week, we will be talking to you again. We'll have some more phenomenal guests on our show. And this is your host, Joy Brown, our CEO, Joseph Collins. Thank you, and our staff. And you all have a great and wonderful day. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.